Okay, so today we want to discuss Hilchot of Leila Seder. So, actually, in terms of Leila Seder, there's 12 simanim in Shulchan Aruch that discuss Leila Seder, and hopefully today I want to get to the first three. It doesn't mean that the giant simanim just happens to be the first three go about halfway through the Seder, and then the next nine go to the end of the Seder and also discuss things like if you don't have enough matzah or whatever it is. So, regarding the Seder, ideally the Seder should be after Seder Kochavim. You should start. But you don't have to wait till Seder Kochavim or Benu Tam. So you don't have to wait 72 minutes after Shkia on Friday night to start the Seder. And ideally, the table for the Seder should be set, and everything should be ready to go, so that as soon as we get home from shul, we can get home, and as soon as it's Seder Kochavim, say Shema, say Kiddush, and go right through. Now, Kiddush ends up being the first of four cups of wine, and everybody is obligated to drink four cups of wine, men, women, children. Children who are above the age of chinuch, so you have no obligation to give your three-year-old four cups of wine. But kid who's 9, 10 certainly does have an obligation. They can fulfill that with grape juice, though. So you don't have to give them, you know, you don't have to give each kid a bottle of Isaac's Ram or really anything with alcohol. You could use grape juice. Also, for women, they can use grape juice. Anyone who's allergic to alcohol should use grape juice. Anyone who has trouble staying awake, Leila Seder takes it's a several hour long night, so anyone who has trouble staying awake can also use grape juice or can use a mix of wine and grape juice. Let's say do the first two cups on grape juice and the next two cups on wine, in order that they can stay awake and be alert throughout the Seder. I actually was reading a teshuvah a few weeks ago, was asking what about someone who was in AA, an Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're Jewish, they want to go to the Seder, and the family that's hosting the Seder is makpid that they only drink wine. But one of the rules in AA is that someone who is in recovery is not allowed to be at functions where alcohol is served. So they're wondering, should they not invite this guy who's in AA, or should they dafka make everybody at the Seder drink grape juice? So the answer was that everybody should drink grape juice, because there's more, you can fulfill the mitzvah with grape juice. There's only a few opinions that say you dafka have to use wine, and in general we don't paskin like them. But you can fulfill the obligation with grape juice. Maybe it could be it's not the best. But in order to let somebody participate in Leila Seder and be part of the family and part of the friends of the whole kinah, it's better that everybody drink grape juice and include him than to try and do a hidur while excluding somebody. So there's definitely what to rely on if anyone wants to just use grape juice. In fact, Chacham Avadia himself never drank wine at the Seder. He only drank grape juice because wine, he said, made him sleepy, and after the Seder, he wouldn't be able to stay up all night learning and discussing Yetziyat Mitzrayim. So, with the Shem, we can all reach that level where we decide that we want to stay up after the Seder and stay up all night and learn and discuss the Agadah and the miracles and the Niflot Hashem. But anyway, well, we're not there. Let's learn the rest of Hilchot Leila Seder to let Hashem reach that point in the future. So women can lead the Seder. Men can lead the Seder. It's not a problem. In fact, their poskim will say it's better for a woman who knows what she's doing to lead the Seder with other women, rather than going to Seder with men who have no idea what they're doing. And certainly if women decide they want to make their own Seder together and have a woman leading the Seder, and who can is able to explain to you Mitzrayim and everything, perfectly allowed to do so. There is no problem with that bichlal. Now, one of the things regarding the Arba Kasot and Achila Matzah and Korech is that we're supposed to lean Be'seba. So, we're leaning. Now, there's different opinions as to what leaning means, but all opinions agree you can't lean on yourself. So I can't lean to my left and stick my elbow on, you know, on my thigh and drink like that. That's not considered chirut. It looks like you're a little sick or uneasy or very uncomfortable. So that's not something to do. So you can lean on the table. You can lean on the arm of the chair you're sitting in. One year, all the chairs at the Seder I was at did not have arms, and the rabbi's son was sitting next to me, so I leaned on him, which is perfectly fine. And there's someone who leaned on me as well, so it's perfectly fine. The ideal way of doing it, if you just lean, it doesn't count. Your elbow has to be sitting on or resting on something. So whether, you know, you just kind of sit and twist yourself on the table or on the arm or on the arm of the chair on somebody who's sitting nearby, whatever it is, elbow needs to lean. Now the question though, that leaning is a derech eru. What about children? So children should lean even in front of their parents, but if for whatever reason the father doesn't want him to lean, so he shouldn't and doesn't have to listen to his father, but he doesn't have to go directly after his father. So he can sit there, he can lean, and if his father says something to him, then he follows whatever his father says. And if his father doesn't say anything, he can take that as a sign, yeah, his father is letting him lean. Anyone who's going to the Rebbe's house for Pesach should not lean in front of the Rebbe without permission, and this is certainly the case if someone's going to a Gadol Ador's house. Let's say somebody somehow managed to get themselves invited to Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky's Seder. So you would not be allowed to lean in Shmuel's house without asking him directly if you had permission to lean. An avel is required to lean, just like anyone else. There is an opinion in the name of the Bach that they shouldn't lean, but the Mishnah Berurah, the Balatanya, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Chaim Avadia, they all kind of jump on that and say no, an avel is required to lean. And a left-handed person should also lean to the left. The reason for this is Gemara says that when leaning to the right, it's a choking hazard. And so normally it's better for somebody to do the mitzvot with their dominant hand. But since that's more of a hidur and not dying is a mitzvah, everybody leans to the left. Now, if someone forgets to lean during the first cup, it happens a lot, we don't always think about it, we rush into Kiddush and the Seder, and so what do you do? Pour another cup and drink it without making beracha. And if you totally forgot and he's about to drink the second cup of wine and you realize, oh, I didn't lean during the first one, he should drink the wine with the first cup in mind instead of the second. Wait a few moments, pour himself another cup, and then drink another cup again right there, and then go on to the meal. Ideally, kiddush should be made over red wine, even if one has white wine that's a better quality. Interesting fun fact, though, and if all the other qualifications of the Berakha of Hatova Emetiv are fulfilled, so if you go from red wine to white wine, that's automatically considered a step up. No matter if the red wine is infinitely better quality than the white wine, the Maran Bet Yosef says that white wine is yoter bari, it's better for health, and therefore you can always make a tov emetiv going from red to white, provided all the other situational alachot are fulfilled. That the Shem will save that for another shiur. There are some people who are makpid not to make kiddush on wine that's mevushal. don't have to hold like that. You can make it a wine that's mevushal. Mevushal is wine that's been pasteurized, basically heated to 180 degrees Fahrenheit or about 80 degrees Celsius. But you can use any wine as long as it's kosher for Pesach for the Arba Kosot. Normally we say in halacha that someone who doesn't like something doesn't make a beracha on it. So if someone doesn't like whiskey or like arak and someone hands it to him and he's drinking it simply for the social aspect of it, so he wouldn't make a beracha because he doesn't enjoy it. So here during the Seder though, even if someone doesn't enjoy drinking wine and all they have is wine for the Seder, so they still have to make a beracha on the wine because there's a mitzvah on it. However, if they can get a hold of grape juice, that would be better. And if someone would be hurt or is allergic to wine or grapes or whatever, and you would get sick from drinking it, so then he shouldn't drink the four kosot. Now, the amount of wine one has to drink for the kosot is it's also a bit subject to a debate, but like this. In general, with Faradim, we hold that a revi'it is about 86 milliliters. The Chazon Ish holds about 150. Most Kiddush cups hold about 150 milliliters. They pretty much are built to be standard size for Chazon Ish. So, like this. 86 milliliters is the majority is in the majority of 150. So if you have, you're making, drinking the four cups of wine, all you have to do is drink the majority of the cup. Ideally, someone should also drink a revi'it, but all you technically have to do is drink the majority of the cup. So if you know your cup is a normal size kiddush cup, not one of these little tiny ones, but it's a normal size, holds a decent amount of liquid, so it's probably chal on each side. So if you drink most of the cup, then you'll fulfill all the opinions and the opinion of the Chaim Na'ehu Chamavanya Paskins, like, of drinking the 86 milliliters, or revi'it. You'll have drunk most of the cup, and you'll satisfy all the opinions. So you don't have to dafka drink the entire cup. You know, someone has a really big cup that holds, you know, holds an actual cup of liquid. You don't have to drink 8 ounces at a time. 86 milliliters is about 3.1 or 3.2 ounces, something like that. It's a much smaller amount. So you don't have to dafka go after 8 ounces of wine each time. It can be, again, it could be something like about 3 ounces of wine. That will be most of the cup, and you're perfectly fine. During Kiddush, you should make sure to drink revi'it. And if you can, the first kos should even, you should even drink all of the kos. And the reason is there's a halacha that you're supposed to make kiddush b'makom siuda. And while yes, you're making kiddush at the Seder table, and you're going to be having your suda there, but you won't be having it for at least another like hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And you won't, we'll finally get to Mosi Matzah after all the Magid and everything. So, but the time limit in general, well, schemes say it's about 30 minutes between Kiddush and washing and eating that you have. So it doesn't have to be immediate. But the poskim also say that b'deavad, if someone drinks a revi'it of wine, so then it's considered like they had a suda, and it's a suda on wine. So ideally, somebody during Kiddush should drink the whole cup, and then should be, I guess, choshesh a little bit for the opinion of the Chazon Ish to drink that 6 ounces or so of liquid, simply to, again, make sure that you have that revi'it, and therefore it would be like you had your su'uda with your kiddush at the same place, and then the rest of the Haggadah won't be a hefsek between kiddush and eating the meal. As long as one drank most of the cup, and even if, let's say, they had a small kos that only held like 4 ounces and they drank most of it, so it's not a revi'it according to all opinions, as long as they drink, 2.5 ounces or so, it's really enough. Also, the rest of the Haggadah wouldn't be half steak, but if they just had a sip, it would be. So you, I advise everyone to just drink the whole cup of wine, at least the first cup. Now for Kiddush, you should wash out the cup before using it, even if it's already been rinsed and clean. You don't have to rinse it out again, but if you can, it's better for Kabbalistic reasons. Ben Ish Chai brings it down, the Kaf HaChaim, that for Alpi Kabbalah, you should rinse the cup right before you make Kiddush. And you should have the person sitting next to you pour the wine for you. So it's a sign of freedom, you know, that you're having somebody serve you. And Alpi Kabbalah, one should also pour 3 drops of water into his wine before making Kiddush, even if you know, you just rinse it, there's a little water in the cup, still put in 3 drops. It's Alpi Kabbalah. And again, brought down Rav Paul in the Kaf HaChaim. Now, the Kiddush, like we normally do on Friday night, or Yom Tov, which is a stand with saying Kiddush. Being that this night, this Pesach, the Leila Seder is a Friday night, you do not have to say Shalom Aleichem. The Ben Ish Chai says you don't have to. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had the custom too. Whoever has the custom to say it, Leila Seder, you can say Shalom Aleichem. Whoever doesn't, you don't have to. But as a side note, there is no Birkat Mein Sheva in the Tefillot, this Pesach. That was mitakin for people who perhaps arrived a little late to shul. Back in the times of Gemara, the shul was actually like on the outskirts of town. In order to have for people who either prayed longer or who arrived late to be able to say the tefillot and not walk back by themselves, so they were mitakin this bircha, bircha me'in sheva, which we say right after the Shemona Esrei on Friday night. So, because Pesach is Leil Shimurim, we're not worried about them walking home alone by themselves. There's no mazikim, no nothing. Hashem will protect them. As a promise, Ad Olam. It's Sof Olam. So we don't say that on the first night of Pesach if that happens to fall on Shabbat like this year. Now, there are people who have the custom when they get to the part in the Seder, they say that particular part of the Seder. You know, a lot of people know the song. Some people, you know, they sing the whole thing right before Kadesh, and then they start Kadesh, and then get to Orchaz, they go Kadesh, Orchaz, and stop. And they go so on and so forth throughout the whole Seder. If you want to do that, fine, perfect, enjoy. If you don't have the custom, you don't have to. A lot of things with Leila Seder, other than the Haggadah, which is mandatory, everything else is really custom. And there are a lot of different customs brought down. Moroccans, Syrians, Hasidim, Litvish, Yekis, Yemenite. There are, you know, hundreds to perhaps thousands of customs of what, you know, we do on Leila Seder. I know people who, you know, my great-grandfather in Yemen, when they got to eating the egg, Zecher Korban Chagigah, what they do is they crack it on their neighbor's forehead. I don't know why. It's what they did. But there are a lot of different customs in Leila Seder, and you should keep with your customs. If you don't have any, so create your own. The greatest thing about it is you have the opportunity to really invest in your Yeruch Niyur on Leila Seder, when you have such a large block of time associated and set aside for the Seder and Avodat Hashem. So make your own minagim, make your own family minagim. It's a great opportunity to make them, because there's, you know, there's a lot of room to play with there. Now, so like this, after the second night of Pesach, we'll be making Havdalah, because we're going from Shabbat to Yom Chol, but it's Yom Tov. So in Tefillot and Motzei Shabbat, we'll be saying Hamad Dibin Kodesh Kodesh. And during the Seder, when we get to the Kadesh, we'll make Kiddush and Havdalah at the same time. And the way that goes is Yak Nehaz, Yud Kuf Nun Hey Zayin, which means Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah and Zman. So someone takes the kos, they say the bracha on the wine, they say the bracha on kiddush, then they say the bracha on the ner avdalah, which you should light from a pre-existing flame. Then they say the actual bracha of avdalah. We don't use besamim because you're going into Yom Kodesh, so you don't need it. And then after that, the shechianu. So that would be if Pesach, if the first night of Pesach is on Motzei Shabbat, the second night, I will get back to everyone later today. I can't find it in the book right now, whether we say the Shechian or not. There are conflicting opinions. I'll get back to everyone later today on that. Now, one who's hungry after making kiddush is allowed to eat, but not he shouldn't fill himself up. He has to eat matzah maror with an appetite. So, if he wants after kiddush, he can make an eitz or adama or shakol. He can eat a little piece of chocolate, a little bit of fruit, some rice maybe. Here it says even you can have a little bit of egg matzah if you want, and then say an alamichya if you have about 50 grams of it. In terms of liquids, during the first and second cup, you can have water. Looks like you have a little bit. And in between the second and third, you shouldn't really drink wine. But if you want, you can. Actually, I think it's supposed to say the first and second. I have to get back on this one too, because you should try and drink non-alcoholic drinks, at least during the Seder, other than the Arba Kosot anyway. Now, the Keara consists of three matzot, maror, charoset, karpas, salt water, and two types of cooked food. So normally what we do is if you picture a circle, and picture Magin David on the circle. So the top point is the three matzot. Then the left-hand side is the egg and the karpas. The right-hand side is the zroa and the charoset. In the middle, the marur, and the bottom part is the chazeret, which essentially is basically a type of maror, or it's an endive, or parsley, or just something. And it's not everyone at the Seder needs to have his own Seder plate. As long as there's one on the table, it's fine, and then whoever is running the Seder can distribute from the Seder plate as is required. And if a Sephardi is eating at the home of an Ashkenazi, he doesn't have to have a Seder plate that complies with the Sephardic custom. The way Ashkenazi do it is a little different. I don't remember exactly what their order is, but it's a little bit different than Sephardi, so you don't have to worry about that. Now, Urchatz is washing hands without a beracha. So it's a little bit weird. Maran Abed Yosef says in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun Chayet that when someone is going to eat a devar shetibulo b'mashke, which is a food that you dip in one of seven liquids, and they are water, oil, blood, honey, dew is another one, there's two others. You have to wash your hands like you would for eating bread. However, he says if you're eating less than a kazayit, then you don't have to wash your hands. So it's a little confusing because in another Seder, we wash our hands because we're dipping the parsley or the lettuce or the endives or celery, whatever it is, in the salt water. But we have to make sure to eat less than a kazayit. So if we're eating less than a kazayit, why are we washing our hands? Why are we eating less than kazayit anyway? Because we don't want to have to say Ebrei Pri Adama. We don't want to say a Brain of a Shot, because this Brei Pri Adama should also cover the maror that we've been eating later. So we don't want to have to close out the beracha. So the Gemara actually answers that the reason we do it is so children should ask, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And most people are not noheg to wash their hands like this during the rest of the year. However, we dafka make sure to do it in Pesach. There is a custom among the Chassidim, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, not Chassidim, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, that they do actually make a beracha, and then they dafka do eat a kazayit of karpas here. And that's because the Vilna Gaon held that anytime you have to wash your hands for a different mitzvah, you have to make a beracha. And so in order to warrant the beracha, you have to eat a kazayit. The Gronix also happened to wash their hands with a beracha from Mincha and Arvit. So take that as it is. Now, karpas, I should take a piece of celery, make sure to check it for bugs, or parsley again, check for bugs, dip it in the vinegar or the salt water, whatever the custom is, break it on the ma, and eat it. You can make salt water on Yom Tov without any restriction. However, when Pesach is on Shabbat, you should probably make it before Shabbat begins. And if you didn't make it before Shabbat, then you should only make a small amount before the meal. And the salt should be the majority of the mixture. Like, it should be about 2/3 of it. Now, the preferred type of karpas is celery. Since celery, a lot of times, is hard to check for bugs, and it's known to be filled with little talaim, so you can use a potato or basically any other vegetable, just not the same vegetable you're using for maror. So if you're using lettuce for maror, you can't use it for karpas. And when you make the berachah on karpas, again, remember to have the maror in mind. The karpas should only be eaten after Seder Kochavim, and if someone ate the karpas beforehand, so then he should eat it another, less than kazayit after Seder Kochavim. And it's proper that the person making or leading the Seder should say the beracha, and everyone should be yotzei with him, just like Kiddush. Barov am hadar melech, also by Kiddush. Some people have a custom to say Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo to any beracha, whether they're being yotzei with it or not. This is not correct. So when someone's making Kiddush, you should not answer Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo. You should just have in mind that they're saying the barakah for you, and you're fulfilling your obligation through them. And the only thing you should say is when they're done, and you should say amen, and then drink. Sfaradi was eating by an Ashkenazi for the Seder should try to have karpas according to his minhag. Generally, again, we say celery. But if not, then he can use anything, any type of vegetable, as long as it's not the actual thing he'd be using for maror. Now, yachat, splitting the matzah. The middle matzah should be broken in half, and the bigger half should be put away for Yapikamah. Now, there is a custom of Yikabalah to try and break the matzah into a dalet and a vav. This is much easier if you have soft matzah, because then you can control where you're ripping it. But if you have hard, crunchy, premium cardboard, it's not so simple you can't rip it. And you have to break it, and it's a little flimsy. You can't really control where it's breaking. So just whatever one is bigger, put that aside for the Afikoman. And whoever only has two matzot, let's say you only have two matzot for the, or two shlemim for the Seder, so fine, break the matzah. You don't have to worry about having lechem mishneh. Better to, again, do the custom here than have lechem mishneh. And if it happens that one of the three matzot on the Seder plate broke or was broken, so since it's already broken, you shouldn't break the other matzot and use that one for the Afikoman. And even if you only have very thin matzot and the matzah, the whole thing, because it's very thin, won't be a kazayit, if you, in each piece, if you break it, still, you should break it, and just add when the beracha v'achila matzah. So just add more matzot, and you'll be good. Now, but magid, everyone's obligated to recite magid, and absolutely cannot start magid before Seder Kochavim. Children again above the age of chinuch are obligated. Men, women, young, old, everybody, as long as you're heart's still beating, you're obligated magid. However, let's say someone doesn't understand magid and doesn't understand what's going on, or if someone doesn't know whether they're reciting Agadah correctly, whatever it is, so at least they should say the words Pesach, Matzah, Maror, and understand the reasons why we eat them. And if we you say that, then you fulfill the minimum obligation of the of Magid. Anyone can ask about Nishtana. Common custom is, you know, the youngest child who is able to ask it should ask it, but if all the children want to ask it, great. You shouldn't have every child, though, ask it individually. Perhaps, you know, if you have a few children that want to say it, one should say one question, one should say another. The reason is we kind of have to keep the Seder going. It's a long night, and there's a lot of inyanim involved. So, you know, we want the children all to be able to stay up through the whole Seder. So if they we start, you know, adding time in Divrei Torah and things throughout the Seder. I don't know, Seder was it last year, the father said, you know, each child was only allowed to say two Divrei Torah throughout the Seder, because otherwise, you know, it takes too much time. So you have to kind of limit things to make sure, yes, you want to add, and yes, you want to discuss, and yes, there's a mitzvah to discuss with you, Mitzrayim, but there's also a mitzvah to get through the Agadah, and to be awake and for it. So it is better to limit some things in order to get through everything. There are various customs of when to cover the kara and when not, and when to lift it up, and when to put it down, and when to take it away. They're all written in your Haggadah, whatever it says, or if you know your custom, then follow that. We're not going to go through it. And then at the end of Sipur Yitziyah Mitzrayim, you know, we have the Berachah v'Shega'alnu, which we drink there the next cup of wine. And from there, Sfaradim have a custom not to make a beracha on the second cup or the fourth cup. Ashkenazim make a Repria Geffen on every cup. Sfaradim have in mind in the first cup to make that it counts for the second cup, and on the third cup they make it again after Birkat Hamazon, so they have in mind also the fourth cup. If, however, let's say someone messed up with and then they forgot the third or fourth cups, or they forgot one of them, so then at that point, you know, if they didn't lean to, let's say, the third cup, and they realized that after drinking the fourth one, so they'd have to make another beracha, lean and drink the third. And at this point, this gets us to Nochsa for washing one's hands for eating matzah, and Bezrat Hashem, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, sometime this week, we'll find the time for the shiur when everyone's here and available, and we will get out the rest of the Halachot for the Seder. Kol tov, everyone, and have a great day. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen.
Not Monday, there's no...